From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Tony Cox in for Farai. Three news conferences in 3 days. He's not in office yet, but President-elect Barack Obama has taken his pledge to repair the ailing economy directly to the public, announcing a series of names for his incoming economic team. He has also rolled out a stimulus proposal to, as he said, jolt the economy back to health. But will any of this work? And are the people he is putting in place the right people to get the job done? Furthermore, can the economy wait until Inauguration Day, or do changes need to be made right now? We turn to two Beltway veterans to get their views. Mary Frances Berry, professor of history at the University of Pennsylvania and the former chair of the U.S. Civil Rights Commission, and Robert Trainum, the D.C. bureau chief for the Comcast cable network CN8. Nice to have both of you back.
Hey there, Tony.
Hello, Tony. We're tightening our belts here.
That's a good thing to do, Robert. There's so much to talk about. Let's begin with this. President-elect Obama announcing today that he is creating a new economic recovery board to be led by former Fed Reserve Chairman Paul Volcker. Now, the board is composed of people from different backgrounds outside of government in order to, he says, provide a fresh perspective for his incoming administration.
Let me speak to why I think this is necessary. Yeah, the reality is that sometimes policymaking in Washington can become a little bit too ingrown, a little bit too insular. The walls of the echo chamber can sometimes keep out fresh voices and new ways of thinking. You start engaging in groupthink, and those who serve in Washington don't always have a ground-level sense of which programs and policies are working for people and businesses and which aren't.
So, Mary, Robert, Mary, you first. What do we make of this?
Well, I hope everything that he's proposing works, because the country needs to have something work for the economy. But I'm very skeptical about the whole enterprise, and I don't know what else to propose. The reason why I'm skeptical, one, the team of people he appointed to the posts in the federal government, Treasury Department, White House Economic Council, and so on, are the return of Robert Rubin, basically, from the Clinton administration. The ties are all there. They are what the economics profession would say is the best and the brightest, but they were all part of creating the debacle over the mortgage crisis and the derivatives that caused the problem in the first place. Secondly, the new advisory board that he appointed, chaired by Paul Volcker, it's unclear to me how they're going to relate to him and to the people he appointed, but Paul Volcker is hardly a new, fresh voice coming to Washington to try to tell people what to do. I mean, he served Republican and Democratic presidents. He's a fine man. But these are hardly new voices. Also, I think that people in Washington, including the Congress, know how the people out there feel about the programs, because they represent them and they're elected by them and they go out and talk to them all the time. And many of the programs were put into place because constituents out there ask for them. Well, so I think that's all unrealistic, but I understand why he's doing it. He's trying to do everything he can to inspire confidence.
Well, let me bring Robert in. We're going to talk more specifically about some of the people that he is naming to be part of his new team in a moment, but I'd like to get you to focus in particularly on this recovery board and what you think its impact will or will not be, Robert.
Well, Tony, two things. First and foremost, I find it very ironic that the president-elect is doing this so early. Here's why. It's because he said, and I'm quoting him, he said, you know, we need fresh ideas. We need a new way of thinking. But this is typically what a president says after 2 or 3 or 4 years in office, when, in fact, they have become isolated in the bubble. This is a president-elect that is not even president yet, but he's still saying that we need new voices. You would think that his new administration as a whole would be a new voice and a fresh face. Second thing, this is a new idea an old idea with new faces. President Eisenhower actually did the same exact thing back in the 1950s. In fact, he did it with some foreign policy experts. President-elect Obama is trying to have his cake and eat it too. He's trying to put a very traditional Secretary of the Treasury in place, but also trying to counterbalance that with these new quote-unquote faces.
Let's talk about this unusual transition for a moment from President Bush to President-elect Obama. To follow your point, Robert, how do you see the role both men are playing here? Is Mr. Obama, in fact, taking the responsibility for the economic crisis away from the president, from President Bush, too soon or not soon enough?
Well, he's taking the responsibility away from the current president, lowercase r. In other words, he's not assuming responsibility, saying this is not my fault. However, you know, bold situations mean bold actions. And so what the president-elect is doing is that he's inserting himself. You know, one of the books that he's just finished reading was a book on FDR's first 100 days. And one of the things that Franklin Roosevelt was often criticized on was not being aggressive enough during the transition when President Hoover was in office and we were in a deep, deep economic mess, obviously the Depression. And so what President-elect Obama is trying to do is says, you know what, this president, meaning President Bush, is somewhat disengaged. He obviously is on his way out the door. I need to be a little bit more assertive here to restore confidence. And the main reason why is because all throughout the campaign trail, I said that I would bring some type of stability to the Oval Office when it came to overall fiscal policy. So that's what he's trying to do.
Well, what do you think?
He's trying to do that, Tony. But I think that whether it is successful or not, or perceived as successful, are too getting involved too soon will depend on how these policies that he has proposed in the last few days, along with the people, how they work out in stimulating a recovery once he's in office, because none of the policies are actually going to be implemented or even approved by Congress until after he's in office.
Well, what do you,
so we'll
what
have
do
to see
what
how
do
it
you
works
imagine,
out.
What do you imagine, Mary, the conversations are like right now between Bush and Obama, particularly around this issue?
I think that they are warm and friendly, cordial. And I think that Bush obviously can't keep Obama from announcing anything he feels like announcing. People can announce anything they want. He can simply tell him, as he's already said, he doesn't want to support the stimulus package, what he does not support. But I think that these are very tough times, and I don't see any sign that Bush is even worried or bothered about Obama saying something or saying that he shouldn't be. And so I think it's probably cordial.
Tony, can I speak to that for one moment?
Yeah, please.
Very quickly, I'll tell you what the Obama folks are telling me. They're saying, unbelievable how this president and his staff is bending over backwards to make this transition work. They're returning our phone calls in a very timely fashion. They're overly cordial. They're being extremely professional about this. The Bush folks have told me, you know, it's interesting how the Obama staffers campaign about, you know, hating this president and, you know, this is, we can't afford eight more years of the same in a whole nine yards. However, they've been overly deferential to the Bush administration over and to the overall staff. So I just find it very ironic that the campaign rhetoric has now been deflated. And now the president-elect and his staff now understand they now have the burden of governing, and they're tempering their remarks.
But everything that was said during the campaign by everybody, as always with campaigns, is rhetoric.
It gets changed when
yes,
when the rubber hits
right,
the road.
It doesn't have anything to do with...
Well, you know what, Robert? You said something interesting. I want to follow it up with you because I had written a note for our conversation, and the note says this, Bush is being cooperative, all right? That's the declarative sentence. Mm-hmm. But the question was, does he have a choice?
Yes, he does have a choice. He doesn't have to be cooperative. Look, he is still the president constitutionally. And the office of the president, like, besides all of this grandeur and this, the office of the president-elect sign and the flags and so forth that Mr. Obama has around him, that means nothing on paper when it comes to the overall governing of this country. We have one president at a time, and this president can choose not to return President-elect Obama's phone calls. This president can choose not to consult this president-elect when it comes to fiscal policy, but he's choosing not to do that. And kudos to President Bush for believing that he should be putting the country first and not his partisan
interests. But the thing that you guys are missing is that no matter how cordial they are, when the rubber really, as someone said, meets the road, on the policy proposals that Obama and the Democrats were pushing for the interim session when they came back, the stimulus, Mr. Bush said no. And it didn't go anywhere. So he hasn't, Mr. Bush has not changed his policies or his direction or shifted. What he's doing is we're talking about the relationships between the two staffs and the people who are involved. And given the circumstances the country is in, it makes sense to be cordial, but that doesn't mean shifting your policy positions. But Tony, are we going to ask about the actual policies that have been proposed?
That was my next question. As a matter of fact, I wanted to talk specifically about the $600 billion in mortgage-backed assets from Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, and whether or not this is something that is workable and doable. Since you brought it up, Mary, is it?
All right. I have 3 points that I've got to make about these proposals. First of all, the mortgage loan, the student loans, the consumer loans, all of those proposals are putting the cart before the horse. There may be good proposals, and they may work in the end, but unless people believe that they will have a job tomorrow and that they will continue to have jobs. His jobs proposals, Mr. Obama's jobs proposals in the Congress, are more important than the loan proposals. Most people don't take out a loan to buy a new car if they're not sure they're not going to have a job 2 months from now. So that's backwards. And then there's another point about these proposals. These proposals remind me in a way of what happened in New Orleans after the levees broke and since then. Every new proposal that's made down there is about going forward, starting all over again, making something new. But all the people who were harmed by the process, no one is doing very much for them. The people who have had foreclosures, who now are even still paying on houses that they're not in or they owe money on them. None of the proposals that were part of the original bailout to take over these toxic mortgages, as it were, and rework them. We've shifted away from that, and now we're trying to make people take on more debt because economists say recovery has to be consumer-driven. And the way to do that is to make the banks and make everybody make loans and have the loans back. But I still think that unless people believe that they will have a job, that it's unlikely that they will go out and make all these loans and start buying up things all over the place. I may be wrong.
Now, I know that Robert Traynor is going to want to respond to that. But
yes.
What we're going to do, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a quick break. I'm going to ask you to hold your thought, Robert. I'm going to come back to you right after we take this break and continue this conversation about what's taking place inside the Beltway. We'll be right back. This is News in Notes. I'm Tony Cox. We're back talking about politics with Robert Traynham, the D.C. Bureau Chief for the Comcast Cable Network CN8, and Mary Frances Berry, Professor of History at the University of Pennsylvania and the former chair of the U.S. Civil Rights Commission. All right, folks, we were talking about the specifics, as such as they are, of the Obama plan to stimulate the economy. Robert Traynham, your turn to jump in on that.
The answer is, Tony, we don't know. And I don't think Senator Obama, President-elect Obama, knows exactly if this stimulus plan will work. You know, FDR said during the 1930s is that we have to throw everything at the wall and see what sticks. It's called the bold exploration of we don't know. And what President-elect Obama is trying to do first and foremost, and this is the underpinning of our fiscal underpinning, if you will, it is faith. We have to have faith in our overall economic system. And right now, we don't have faith, or at least people don't have faith in the banks and so forth. And so it causes a domino effect. It's all psychological. If you take a look at Citigroup, this is a major, major global enterprise that operates in 150 companies. 2 months ago, Tony, solidly sound.
Yes,
everything
sir.
Was fine with Citibank.
Right.
And then we woke up on Monday morning to find that the government had to bail them out as well. Why? It's because their stock market or their stock price went to $5 or low. And the reason why is because a lot of short-term folks out there, short-term traders, said, you know what? I don't know if Citibank is going to make it. I'm going to sell. So again, it's all psychological. And so what President-elect Obama is trying to do is he's trying to instill confidence in the system by these bold, I would make the argument, very, very liberal, very, very expensive programs, but who knows? Maybe they'll work.
Well, you know, you mentioned faith. Well, let me go to another point because I want to get this in before we run out, and that's this. You talked about faith and confidence, and part of it has to do with who the president-elect has chosen to surround himself with. Today we know he picked Robert Gates to continue on as defense secretary. But besides Gates, the latest reports say that Obama wants to nominate New Mexico Governor Bill Richardson for Commerce, Tom Daschle for Health and Human Services, and, of course, Hillary Clinton for Secretary of State. Rahm Emanuel is going to be his White House Chief of Staff. There's not a new face in that bunch. So here's the question. The president-elect was asked about some of those appointments at today's press conference, and he defended his choices this way.
What we are going to do is combine experience with fresh thinking. But understand where the vision for change comes from first and foremost. It comes from me.
So do these choices, Mary, do they give you confidence and faith?
Well, most of those people have been around, and I know some of them, and I like them. So I'm not going to say really bad things about them as people, and they mean well, but the change mantra during the campaign was just about the campaign. Now it's become urgent because of the economic crisis. So the whole group of people that he appointed to the economic posts, as I said, they're Rubin people, Robert Rubin, And they all believe in deregulation. They helped to deregulate the financial sector, which created the problem that we have. The other people seem to be, you know, fairly competent. But our major problem that we have right now is the economic one. So I would focus on that. What Mr. Obama needs is to re-regulate the economy, just as Franklin Roosevelt not only threw everything at the wall, which needs to be done, but he also regulated the economy. And the people that Mr. Obama has selected unregulated it, which left the greed to go rampant in the land. So I want to see what they say about this. And if they don't have any fresh thinking on this, I guess all the fresh thinking has to come from Mr. Obama. And I'm not sure that he can be the fresh thinker on every issue that comes up.
That's an interesting point. What do you say, Robert?
Well, Tony, if you take a look at some of the quote-unquote old faces that Senator or President-elect Obama has nominated, it's roughly about 150 years worth of Washington experience. And so I'm not sure if that's changed or not. To me, it doesn't seem that way. Take a look at their records. And, I agree with Mary. Some of these folks I know as well, and I love them as people. But when you take a look at them as politicians, you have to scratch your head and say, why? Why would you nominate this person when this person has been a Senate Majority Leader for 7 or 8 years and screwed some things up there, presumably? Why would you nominate someone who's been a U.S. congressman from New Mexico and ran for president twice and so forth and so on?
Well, let me play the devil's advocate and give you two words to answer that. Jimmy Carter.
Jimmy Carter came in with a whole new team of
Washington outsiders, and look what happened to him.
Tony, I was in the Carter administration, and I saw what happened, and you're right, and he did have outsiders on his staff, his White House staff, and he knows himself that there were a lot of, as they say, mistakes made. But I would say that Obama picked these people because they are the Democrats you would pick. The last Democratic administration was a Clinton administration for two terms, so there were people who got experience at that time. And so you pick from the people who are your party's people who have experience. And they happen to be the ones.
Yeah, but if I can counter this for 1 second, not to cut Mary off, but look, Bill Clinton came in 19...
cut me off.
I'm sorry. Bill Clinton came in 1992 with folks like Dede Myers and you go on, Alice Rivlin, you go on down the list. These are folks that obviously came out of the Clinton or the Carter administration as well, but they were different faces and they were young faces and they were just a quote-unquote change-type voices. President-elect Obama still has that capability if, in fact, he wants to. You don't have to go to the Clinton administration or to the Carter administration to find new faces. I would dare to say that there are Democratic thinking out there that is fresh and it's different, that may not, quote-unquote, have the experience, but they certainly have the intellect and the gravitas to be able to run this government. So don't tell me.
Yeah, but here's the situation. Do we have the luxury of having the time to deal with that? Don't we have people who can hit the ground, running?
Tony, he has a lot of new faces on his White House staff, people who have not been in government before, people who have been with him during the campaign or in the Senate, who are there.
Not in senior
and
positions.
So
yeah,
the
positions we're hearing about are not those people.
Right. But they're there. And he has still some more space to put some more people in. I'd be interested to see who he puts in to run education, for example, which is crucial to this new economic recovery.
Let me ask the both of you, if you were to give him a grade, him being Barack Obama, on his transition team selections to date, 1 to 10, 10 being great, 1 being not so great, obviously. What grade would you give him, Robert?
I would give him a 6.
6, that's not too bad. What would you say, Mary?
I'd give him an 8.
An 8. So you have a little more faith that the people that he has put in place, although some of them you don't personally care for, you think they can do the job.
No, I personally care for them. I just wonder about the...
Look, Tony, the point is, are they qualified? Absolutely. Are they change agents? Absolutely not. I mean, that's the point. I mean, you know, look, they're very qualified. They will hit the job running. They will do their job and probably do it very, very well. Mm-hmm. But the point is, if this is a change, or if this was a change election, and if, in fact, Senator Obama campaigned on the whole mantra of, you know what, no more the same, the whole nine yards, we need a clean house, that's not his message right now.
All right, we'll have to wait and see. Time has run out for us, unfortunately. Great conversation, though. I really do appreciate it. Mary Frances Berry, professor of history at the University of Pennsylvania, the former chair of the U.S. Civil Rights Commission, and Robert Trainum, the D.C. bureau chief for the Comcast cable network CNN, CN8. They both joined us from our NPR headquarters in Washington, D.C. Thanks, guys. Okay.